It's time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening and welcome to another edition of PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM. Again, this is David Fulton along with Ken Simon. And again, we're going to bring you some COVID updates at the beginning of the show. We'll talk a little bit about COVID and break down some other things that are going on here locally in the community. And at the bottom of the hour, around 6:30, we're hoping to have Coach Blake Williams on the radio talk about boys golf and boys basketball and the implications of how COVID has affected his start to his two seasons. And again, we'll get right to it now with Kim with some updates.
Okay, so it's kind of interesting the way that the governor is handling things now. Basically, he's just doing the Tuesday press conferences, but still announcing and sending out data on a daily basis, but just doing the press conference on Tuesday. So today, an additional 402 new cases, taking the total up to 17,919 people that have tested positive for COVID-19. Of those numbers, there's been over 445,000 who have actually been tested. So, you know, getting close to that 500,000 mark, in a sense, as far as the numbers of people that have been tested, but still 17,919 confirmed cases. 402 Tuesday, there were 371 cases. So back-to-back days, you know, of 700-plus cases, that's a lot in a two-day span. And I realize, too, it's some of that's coming from past week data. Obviously, we're lagging behind as far as getting test results.
Usually still, a couple of days on the lag time, yeah, at least. But you're talking about, for Kentucky, those are record numbers.
Yes.
The first time we've crossed the 400 plateau. Since the virus began back in March. So to me, I'm not saying we're going to be a hot spot, but if you look at the national news, you're going to see a big old red spot on Kentucky where we are now having increases throughout the week, and the 2 and 3 day totals now will put us way up there in the dark red.
So, you know, when you stop and look at that, of the 17,000 that have tested, almost 4,800, a little more than 4,800 have actually recovered. So even though 17,000 have been tested, almost 18,000.
Awkward number.
Yeah, you know, 4,800, a little bit more than that, that have come back and have recovered. What's interesting is that you would almost think that that number would be higher to some extent. So you're still talking, you know, a fourth, basically, not quite a fourth, between a third and a fourth in a sense as far as like the number that have recovered. So you're still looking at, you know, 1,300 potentially, you know, 13,000, excuse me. Yeah, people that have not recovered. That's still a lot of unrecovered individuals out there.
I think that is more data that is incomplete. I don't think that the follow-up data is as important. I know that people need to be clear to go back to work. In my opinion, I think they're probably clearing these folks to go back to work, and only that many are going back to work at this time. Now, if you look at the Powell County numbers, we've had another increase. Also, we had two more cases today, bringing our total, I believe, to 10 is the new number for Powell,
yes,
County.
Correct.
And we have, again, two active cases, from what I understand, and 8 recovered cases here in the county. But that number, I guess we talked, 3 weeks ago? And the number, it went from 1 and now to 10 within 3 weeks. So it has grown 11-fold or 10-fold,
yeah,
in 3 weeks here. And again, we're talking about a small number, because we started out with a small number. And I know some people will allude to, because we're testing more. We've had testing going on here in the county since mid-April. And pretty widespread testing here, or availability of tests in mid-April. Therefore, we've had opportunities to go test, but the numbers are creeping up here in the county, and it's a little bit concerning, at least to me.
Yeah, and if people haven't been tested and want to get tested, you can go to the Foothills Wellness Center in Clay City, and also Clay City Pediatrics and Primary Care in Clay City as well. Those are two designated areas here in the county to actually be tested.
And you know, testing is one thing. Again, we are testing more. Therefore, the numbers, you will see an increase of cases. Because we talked about this before, we're sure there's plenty of cases out here. People just weren't getting as many tests. I don't think testing is the issue. I think that COVID is the issue. And if you not want to find out if you have it or if you've had the contact, then you're not too concerned about the folks you're around. I mean, it's you know, as we prepare to go back to school here. And other places, it's going to be very concerning. Again, the sports updates. I know University of Louisville had two football players test positive, so they shut down the football program for, I think, 2 weeks. For them, I know Estill County, I don't know what the reasons were for Estill County. They shut down their athletics program for 2 weeks. This came a couple of days ago. You know, there's a possibility that they may have had a case. I'm not sure about that. But it looks suspicious, and you know, you wonder what happens in Powell County if you get a case in athletics. You wonder about what happens in Powell County if you're a staff member and you get a case or a student. I don't know what the protocol is going to be, and we don't know those answers yet.
Yeah, especially considering that, you know, we've not necessarily got into the sports with which we're talking about.
Yes,
on a larger scale, in a sense, you know, school is not in session. We don't necessarily have that daily interaction, practices, full contact practices, in addition to games, potentially under those circumstances. So the teams are still kind of out there doing their own little practice conditioning kind of thing with social distancing, things along that line as best they can in small pod groups in order to conduct things. But like you said, we don't necessarily know how far this potentially will go once one person...
Yeah.
You know, potentially, whether it's a staff member, a coach, a player, once that happens, what the board will actually decide to, what steps they will actually decide to take in order to shut down and or just isolate specific teams.
Yeah,
who knows?
I don't know what that answer is going to be yet. We haven't heard from the board on that as of yet. We do know that school will reopen at this time in Powell County on August the 25th is the first day for students. There will be no Powell County Lions Club fair this year, so there goes the parade and Miss Powell County and all the other festivities that goes along with the fair, and that's a, I guess, the first that I can remember in my lifetime it's actually been canceled for whatever reason. We've had, I know a lot of times have rain a lot, you don't get a lot of events in, but you don't see a
Not
lot where
week.
It gets canceled the full week, so
yeah.
This is going to be a hit on, you know, the local, you know, Lions Club and local community, because they give back to the community so often. So, you know, that'll be a big hit because that's their major fundraiser for the year, is the fair. So how they recoup that, I'm not sure. It'd be interesting maybe to have a Lions Club member on here in the next couple of weeks to just talk about that as local, just a local thought. Also, no youth baseball in the community, and I've heard a lot about that on here. I'd like to maybe get some city council members and see why. I've heard some things why, and understandably I understand the reasons why, but other people don't understand it, but maybe they don't know the reasons why. Maybe get some on here to clear those things up. And I know those are some thoughts about folks out in the community. You know, we're not necessarily into youth stuff, but something probably we should cover here on the radio station, because there's not a lot of outlets that cover those things.
No, and on one hand, there's obviously outside of the high school conditioning type programs. Mm-hmm. The park has opened, City Park here in Stanton has opened back up again.
Yep.
You know, I go out on a regular basis and walk in or jog on the track. I've noticed over the last week a lot more people starting to get out a little bit more. So not that people aren't social distancing, it just becomes a little bit difficult. All of a sudden you're deciding to jog in this particular section and somebody else is walking. You know, it can kind of get a little tricky, but the numbers have increased. Obviously, they're playing music in the park as well, started this past week. So, I mean, that brought a pretty good crowd. Kids on the basketball courts, you know, even kids out on the ball fields, whether it's playing games and or just some people getting together, just kind of practicing. So a lot more activity going on. Now it goes back to what's allowed, what's not allowed as far as the league type of operations.
Right.
You know, it's one thing if all of a sudden maybe, you know, the park is open and people can just walk the track. It's a whole nother thing if all of a sudden we're conducting events or something.
Well,
you know.
I know we talk about some of the events that you could get out and do things like that on the outside and it's less problematic. And if you get in a confined area, we've seen the rules like on baseball, softball, soccer at the high school level, what you can and can't do. And we see a very difficult time of even playing a game based on what our recommendations are. The youth sports is probably under a few different guidelines, which is why you'll see travel tournaments going on and other places hosting those. You know, we are at the point to where I thought some of that was going to be opened up. I thought it was next week when it would open up more, but apparently it's already done so here in the local area. But anyway, we got more to talk about here about COVID and the updates in sports. We're going to take a break here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. We'll be back in a few moments here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Times have never been better to buy a new 2020 Chrysler Dodge Jeep or Ram than right now at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton. Rates are low, trade values are high, and rebates are at an all-time level. Drive forward with the folks at Tanner. You won't find a better deal or a better place to do business. Shop Tanner first. Call them at 606-663-2856. Just off the Mountain Parkway, exit 22 in Stanton. Proudly serving Eastern Kentucky for over 20 years.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like Phone Smart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Appalachian Wireless has a question for you. Would you rather pay $650 or $66 for a smartphone? If you think this answer is simple, then the Appalachian Advantage Plan is for you. Pay less upfront for today's hottest smartphones, and then pay just a few dollars more every month on the monthly bill. Many smartphones are $5 a month or less after you factor in the $20 discount from the Advantage Plan compared to the contract offering. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless. Payment agreement required. See store for details.
The emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin is faster, closer, and better. When an emergency strikes, we are right down the street and ready to help. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on-site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is an accredited chest pain center and level 4 trauma center. You can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. Choose the emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin. Faster, closer, better.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. This is Dave Fodor again, along with Ken Simon. I'm not real clear on the youth sports guidelines. I've tried to look it up on the internet, can't find anything specifically the youth sports and what can or can't happen, which is why we're confused a little bit. I know there are other communities hosting like travel tournaments and having Little League, and there's some communities that aren't. So I don't know if some people are just violating the protocol or if there is a way to comply with and meet protocol with and still have the competition. So I'm not real sure. And if somebody wants to call in, 2811 is the number. You're welcome to call in and let us know where I'm mistaken or just don't know. But again, I've tried to look it up and just really can't find anything on U Sports.
Yeah, and that's the hard part, because they're saying, you know, refer back to the standards or guidelines for U Sports, but yet there's no U Sports. So therefore, the youth leagues here, are they autonomous to be able to make those decisions, and or are they associated or affiliated with another organization, and therefore they have to go on what those organizations, you know, offer up? Of course, there's so many different leagues and groups and whatever right. else that put these things together that, I mean, it'd be hard to keep up with what group is associated with and affiliated with what particular organization on a state or national level.
And if they're going to be able to use someone else's facilities, again, you do have to understand the people that own the facilities are people responsible for what happens at their facilities. So
true.
That's why there's some probably a little bit of conflict. But again, like I said, we're hopefully maybe next week have some folks on and clear some of these issues up that obviously we can't clear up for you because we just can't find that information out there readily available to us anyway.
Let me add just one more thing just real quick going back as far as like the governor. One of the things that he ended up saying is that there will be some new requirements coming, with several of those or some of those being mandatory. So now they're looking at potentially implementing some mandatory statewide guidelines. Let's just use the mask as an example. You're out in public. Everyone will be required to wear a mask. I believe that's a direction he's probably going in, just based on what other states are doing.
In Florida,
correct? And we've kind of lagged behind in a sense, you know, as far as, not that he didn't jump out and kind of take things and kind of get us organized early on, but I'm saying at this point now he's kind of letting it kind of slowly. Let's see how the reopening kind of goes. And at this point, considering the daily jumps that we've kind of had, of course, we still go up and down, up, down, up, and down. You know, we'll have a couple of days where it's high.
But that's not plateauing.
Correct. Yeah, if you look at the chart,
we're not a plateau.
Yeah, we are not. We've not necessarily been a bell curve in any shape of the.
If you say we plateaued a month ago, we're in a second spike. If we plateaued a month ago.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had a plateau.
Again, I don't either.
If you look at the data, it's either. Like it's up for 3 or 4 yeah. days, and it goes down a couple of days, and then we're back up and then back down and up and down for consecutive days.
And I'm not sure what they count their plateauing as, like 3 day. I think it's a 3 day number they look at. So we've already had 2 days in a row that are just blowing everything else out of the water. Tomorrow's just kind of gravy, if you want it to be, whatever that number is. We're probably going to have the highest 3 day total that we've had since the outbreak began here in Kentucky. But again, I'm sure more testing availability has caused some of those numbers to go up, but I also believe it is lack of social distancing, lack of taking care and following some of the protocols that we are supposed to be taking in our open up. We feared this would happen. We kind of alluded to this probably a month and a half ago. Wait till the July 15th, see where we are. Our prediction would be it'll be worse by the 15th. We'll see what happens. That's the direction we're kind of going, and next week we'll kind of maybe let you know where we think we are and where we think we're going. But again, plans have to be made. I know last night they had the board meeting, so plans are made to reopen. Next step is what schedule does Powell County School System choose to do for the students? We already have some protocol. Students are going to be required to wear a mask. And
that's a KDE, Kentucky Department of Education, you know, and guideline.
Or staff. I mean, and you're going to see a lot of kids stay in the same classroom. You're going to see a lot of teachers rotate. And to me, that's a counselor's nightmare, because how do you schedule, at the high school level, for an example, how do you schedule kids on different tracks? You have to have some movement at the high school level because you've got different tracks you're going to take. So I don't know what you're going to do there. Even like with music classes, no singing, can't play instruments. What do you do in a music class?
These are legitimate questions, absolutely, because these are things that the board is going to have to look at. You know, logistically, in a sense.
Phys ed classes, for an example, well, you really can't use the gym because that's an inside area and more confined spaces. You know, they want them to go outside. Maybe you could run, but you know you can't use any like field equipment because you can't use it even in the sports. So it's going to be very tricky during the open up. So we'll see how the board responds, and we'll kind of bring you that information as much as we can. And maybe try to have Dr. War on here for a night to have him explain some of the things that some people sometimes get a little bit of information and run with it. It looks really bad. So I like to sometimes get it from the horse's mouth, if you will.
At least at this point,
yes.
We do know that they have chosen a calendar the board approved on Tuesday where the first day for students will be August the 25th. Past the normal start date, I think this past year was going to be like the 7th or 8th, somewhere
right
around in there. So we're several weeks behind. So August the 25th, the first day of students. With that being said, what are those guidelines? Because they'll have between now and prior to that to work all of those things out. You know, are you there on 2 days a week and home 2 days a week with NTI packets, virtual, you know, classrooms, bus routes? They already have stated bus routes or buses can be full. Students will just have to wear masks and be, you know, temperature checked, that kind of thing,
right,
before entering the building. So we already know certain things, but now it goes back to, as you mentioned, NTI packets. Am I keeping my kid at home? Am I not? How are those kids, if you're staying at home, are they counted, not counted? Is that homeschooling now? Again, there are so many different little things like that.
Yeah, I think it's now, what is it? I want to think of the word. It's, I'm going to say visual learning. It's not really visual learning, but it's pretty much at home on a computer.
Just the virtual.
Virtual learning. And those, I think, would be counted as far as your attendance because you have a schedule you have to stay on as well. And you have to be logged in throughout the day to make sure you get those credits met.
You're going to have to be enrolled,
yes,
in the Powell County,
yes,
schools, you know, and obviously those dates, they've not announced those dates just yet as,
right,
far as when enrollment. That includes preschool, kindergarten, even Head Start has not necessarily had theirs, middle school, high school. So, I mean, those enrollment dates have not been announced just yet. So you will have to enroll your child in school.
Right.
If you choose
at
to
some point.
Yeah, if you choose to not enroll at that point, you become a homeschool parent.
Correct.
Because
you're not enrolled in Powell County.
Correct, because you're not enrolled. So at that point, you're kind of on your own. So obviously, who knows what options parents might have as far as being able to educate their children within the Powell County school system. There might be an option where all of a sudden you can stay at home and do the virtual learning 5 days a week.
Right.
You know, there might be an option where you come 2 days a week and all of a sudden at that point other days are at home. Who knows what they'll choose.
But of all the counties I've seen, though, I haven't seen a lot of the AB. I've seen a lot of 4 day weeks. For example, I think Estill County's going Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Wednesday's going to be a deep clean. Kind of makes sense to me. I mean, it's just a, you know, there's other offers. Well, and you have, I think there's three choices the students can make, but you're going to school every day if you're going to school, but you also have the ways where you can do like a, not quite like an NTI packet, but you can take home the paperwork. And you can also do the virtual learning where you actually log into a class of some kind. But those are things that have to be answered, and we'll, again, try to bring that to you best we can here on radio so you'll have that information in front of you. But, again, I like to talk to the experts and see what's going on. I mean, both of us have worked with the school systems quite a long time, but sometimes it's better to hear from the person at the top.
And who knows what their time frame,
correct,
is in order to make sure they have all of their, you know, I's dotted and,
yeah,
T's crossed.
It has to be done by,
sure,
a certain date. I mean, it's,
right,
you know,
yeah,
for the counselors to be able to schedule your classes that you're going to take, they have to know what kind of schedule they're looking at. So, you know, by knowing the start date now, at least we got an idea of that. But I think we need the other answer before we move on. But that's just me as a layperson now talking about it, you know.
Yeah, and obviously when they get to that point, making those decisions, you know, they're already going to know that,
yep,
we've talked about it, we've analyzed it and thought about it. And even I know that they've sought parental and student input through,
yep,
surveys that have been sent out using that information and that data in order to come to a sound decision as far as, okay, this is what's going to be in our best interest for our students, our staff, our community to educate our children going forward, and let's see how it works. But at least at this point, August 25th, and then like the last tentative date, sometime in June, the beginning of,
yeah,
June. Of course, living here as long as we have, you know that. I mean, that end date doesn't mean anything.
Well, I think there are a lot of flexibility in the schedule, but with the NTI days available. So There's a lot of ways to work things out, and I think they'll make the best decision possible. Again, we're going to change gears a little bit. Major League Baseball slated now to open up the 23rd, I believe. 24th is, I think, the Reds opening day, but the 23rd, I believe, is the first game. 60 games per team, 20 within, like, the Central would play the Central. Then they're trying to reduce the travel distances for these teams. 40 games within your own division. So you'll see a winner based on those numbers. So we'll see. But there have been more than a handful of players that have opted out of 2020 season. Dave Price kind of leads that list now with the Los Angeles Dodgers, has said he won't play this year. Mike Leake, former Cincinnati Red, was the first player to come out and said, I'm not playing in 2020. And now you're looking at Nick Markakis from the Atlanta Braves. There are several big-name players who have said that they're not playing this year. Some of those players will receive their salary and their time. And in some cases, you don't receive your salary or your time. You can choose whichever one you want. And that was tricky because I'm sure that's something the Players Union worked out. There have been several positive cases come out of MLB. And there's the fear of the players of, I can't take this home to my kids. I don't want to take this home and risk ruining, you know, my career or my life with COVID. So I'm just not playing. So it's going to be an interesting start of Major League Baseball season. You know, teams trying to build rosters and players are opting out of playing. How you go about that. And I do understand, you know, the fan sentiment, the player sentiment, the owners. It's kind of like starting school. You see the argument of back, is it safe to start school back? Probably not for everybody. Do the kids get their best learning at school in person? Yes. Does virtual learning work? Yes. But is it as good as in person? Probably not. Again, you learn more than one thing at school. It's social. It's educational. All the other things that you get, the person-to-person contact is huge. For developing skills. And I say that, and when I went through my master's program, almost everything was online. So this is something that's been years ago. So things do change. And I think this COVID-19, these things that are done with education, it's making it more fluid now, the changes that are going to be made. So it's going to be interesting how this all shakes out after COVID about how we address education and public education. That's going to be a very interesting time that we're in, and if you're not ready for change, folks, it's probably time to get out.
It is definitely coming. I will say this, though, and you know, I am not a Reds fan.
I know. You're a Cardinals fan.
I am a Cardinals fan, but, you know, we can agree to disagree.
Yes.
But, you know, some reports have already come out that the Reds have a very favorable schedule.
To start the season.
The season.
Played
Detroit
twice, which was a lower-tier team last year. I think they played Detroit six times out of the first 10 games. That's what you're alluding to,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. You have to, right? Under the circumstances, yeah. You'd have to, you know.
Well, as a Reds fan, it's a good schedule. And if Joey Votto takes as much time as he normally takes to get warmed up, it may be after that 10 games at least. But hopefully I'll get off to a good start. Even the Cardinals, again, I see that NL Central, if they get to play their 60 games, as being the most competitive division in all of baseball.
I think consistently it is, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I really do. So. I mean, yeah. It's just a brutal division. you know, I think NL East is a good division as well. The AL East is a good division. But top to bottom, I think the NL Central is probably one of the toughest divisions in baseball. We'll step away another break, come back, and hopefully have Blake Williams on the line here on WSKV's PCSN Live with Dave and Kent.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
No matter your emergency, Clark Regional Medical Center is here for you. Dealing with emergencies is never easy when they happen. It's important for you to know that you have someone in your corner. Whether you're facing a medical situation yourself or a loved one needs immediate care, we're here for you 24/7. Our emergency trained staff puts patients first and never forgets about the family, communicating every step of the way through rapid treatment. No matter your emergency, Clark Regional Medical Center is here for you.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Again, this is David Fallon along with Ken Simon. And we'll be joined now via phone with Coach Blake Williams. How you doing, Blake?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you all?
Good.
Doing great now. So what are you doing this afternoon? I'll just put you on the spot since you already told me.
I'm actually playing a little golf this afternoon.
I mean, who does that? Who gets to play golf?
I just took notes off you. I learned from you.
Now, just a quick question, since you are at the golf course, what are the restrictions that you're finding at, while you are playing golf, is what you can or can't do at a golf course?
Well, you know, as you all know, golf's a game that you're not going to have a lot of contact anyway. So, it's probably the easiest game to play as far as abiding by the rules. You know, some of the only things I've really noticed are. One person per cart. You know, there are things in the pen so that you're not taking the flags out or anything. But you know, other than that, though, I guess maybe I'm just used to it now. But those are really the only significant differences I've noticed.
Yeah, there's not a lot. I don't think there's a lot of rules as far as that. You're basically right. I think if you're in the same household, this is probably country clubs more than it is at a public golf course. You're in the same household, I think maybe you can share a cart, but that's it. Other than that, it's just a single one per cart deal. And again, like you said, no touching the flags. And with the new golf rules, you don't have to take a flag out anyway now.
That's true. but you know, this just it's not too much different. So it is nice to get to have something to do, a hobby that you're still allowed to do at this point in time.
Yeah, we can go fishing, we can play some golf, or we can go run if I don't like to run, but fishing and golfing is pretty cool.
Yeah, I like those first two options better.
Yeah, I'm with you.
What are the courses even like? You know, obviously we've had bouts of rain, then all of a sudden now it's kind of been dry, not high temperatures. How are the courses handling, holding up?
Well, you know, the courses I've played, I don't just stick to one particular course. I try to play various ones throughout different counties. But you know, for the most part here recently, they've all been well maintained. But you know, I'm also a golfer though that can't blame on the course though. I'm not going to say that you know it's a fit to my game. Now they are, but no, they've been overall maintained well.
Yeah, we need to get. I need to get out and go play with. That way, we'll have at least a battle of high handicappers, right?
That's right. That sounds good.
Now, since we're talking about golf, what are your plans for starting boys golf here in the county?
Well, you know, as of right now, you know, less restrictions are changed. We still plan on practicing in the next couple weeks once, you know, July 15th date.
Right.
I've not really relayed that to parents and players yet, but we plan on starting on that date.
I did the same thing with my girls. I told them the 15th we're going to start. And that's the old start date anyway. And again, we wait as long as we can to get more information, just what my thought was about whether we're going to get the play or not, and wait as long as we can, try to make that decision. But again, you still got to get ready like you're going to play.
Yeah, absolutely. But I, you know, the only thing that's been challenging, and I know you can vouch for this, just scheduling, because yep. a lot of people aren't wanting to complete a schedule right now because it's a matter of, well, if we complete a schedule, are we going to play that date? So that's been the only, you know, only drawback. But, you know, other than that, I think everything should be going accordingly.
Yeah, now golf is a little bit different, I guess, than other sports. I know football is different, soccer, cheer, and the fall sports. Those are more high contact type events. Golf, cross country, those are kind of low contact and easier to get accomplished here in the fall.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, at the same time, though, this is common not just for teenagers but for anyone. I mean, there's still going to be some times that kids are going to forget. Hey, I can't shake his hand, yeah. or hey, I can't touch his ball. But you know, I think that as long as we do our job as coaches, reminding them, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see that a lot anyway. I mean, it's really pretty. Those are fairly easy to do. Maybe it'll help, like, the girls. I know they like to walk together. It may help them get their game better because they have to be ruled down. We have to be apart. So that may actually help practice in the way you're supposed to play the game anyway. Maybe stay out of each other's, their space all the time. We'll switch gears a little bit here to basketball. How has COVID affected what you normally do in the summer?
Well, it's made a huge impact on everybody. Well, a typical summer, we're going to try to play a lot of games, a lot of scrimmages. We'll try to look to play, anywhere 15 to 20 ball games. Obviously, that's been taken out. So what we have been allowed to do, we started out in the weight room. We've been, of course, we have to abide by all the rules, face masks at all times, social distancing when it's possible, really sanitizing all the equipment. So that's how we started out. Then we got to gradually move on to the gym, but our workouts in the gymnasium have been, individuals basically. There's been still, every player has their own basketball, and once again, they do have to keep their face mask on. We have to sanitize the balls before they get them, but they keep their own basketball through the whole workout, and so we really had to switch it up just to do all drills that will help them develop as players, but at the same time not be able to have any defenders on them, nobody to pass to. So I guess overall it's been a huge adjustment for everyone.
What kind of voluntary participation are you having as far as your players? What kind of numbers are you getting?
We have really good numbers. Sometimes I tell the kids to, which here's the thing with this, it's all voluntary. This is not something that, this is not some, hey, you didn't participate in workouts this summer, this is completely voluntary, and we truly mean that. And, with that being said, we still had great numbers, and I'm just really pleased with all the big freshman class we have. They've been out, quite often, and all the other guys. So it's been a good turnout.
Now, when do you expect to see guidelines? I know we're toward the end of the phase now. Next week starts a new phase, I guess, on Monday. But we really don't have any other information on what goes on next week, correct?
To my knowledge, Sue, yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't really know beyond that.
I mean, I know it's pretty much, I guess, the same as Phase 3. We haven't really got the guidance, I guess, from the KHSAA through the local board about what we can do after that. I know eventually if you're going to play, for example, football, you have to be able to tackle. You have to be able to run handoffs. At some point, they're going to have to say, "Okay, guys, you can start." How do you feel about starting football, soccer, those type of things here as early as July 15th?
Well, I know it's going to be challenging, start that soon. But I will say that I hope that it comes to that point because I want. I won't say normal, but I want everything, I hope everything does go back to, I guess, that normal soon. Part of that is just these kids getting out and getting out, participate in sports, their everyday routine. But I know it will be a challenge. I truly hope that this is something just goes away quickly and we're able to get back to a normal.
Yeah, I tell you what. I want you to hold that thought and stay under that shade tree. We're saying we'll take a break. Be back more here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hearnfuneralhome.com.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full-service sales and repair on the popular Steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Roses Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for Steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
All right, welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, and we'll be joined by head coach, head basketball coach, and boys golf coach Blake Williams. I guess Blake, what are you looking for returning players? We'll talk golf first. Returning players for the sport of golf here at Powell County.
Well, you know, last year we had a really young team. We had a lot of guys that hadn't played before, been experienced guys, but you know, last year they had. They had the opportunity to play a lot of matches, got to play in a few tournaments. So I think this year, you know, as long as they've been playing as much as possible and practicing, I think that they're going to be a lot better this year because they'll be more comfortable. I think that it'll be a fun season.
As far as numbers, how many numbers do you normally have on your team?
Well, last year was my first year coaching the boys golf team. We had around eight guys, had lost two seniors. The rest of the guys were, you know, sophomores and down. So, I would expect high numbers again this year.
Yeah. And really eight to 10 is probably as much as you want in golf, unless you've got two really good, varsity teams. I know I was talking to, Coach Benton in Estill County the other day, and, he said they're not doing a lot of practicing. Obviously they're shut down for a couple of weeks now, but all of his kids are members at Estill County Country Club, so they can go play or practice every day. Not official practice, but they can go play on their own every day, which is probably what our kids as girls and boys golfers need to be doing on their own.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, our kids are fortunate to have the same luxury to get to go and play for free as much as they want to with being a golf team member. So I hope they take advantage of that.
Right. And if not, they will be behind if that's not the case. So. I know I've told mine, play as much as you can, but we'll start practicing on the 15th and see where it shakes out.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about tryouts? You know, let's say somebody didn't play last year, interested in coming out regardless of what grade they're in. What's kind of the process as far as trying out for the team?
Well, you know, that's funny with golf, and you know, I'm sure Coach Faulkner's been on can vouch for this too. You know, that's not. I don't think we have a problem with tryouts because I don't know of any golf teams that have such large numbers in our region anyway.
Right.
But you know, with golf being a sport that's a lifelong sport, and you know, a lot of kids aren't used to playing. I encourage as many people who can come out, they can come out and play. Not everybody can participate in the region, but you know, we'll make sure that as much kids as we get come out, we'll make sure they get to participate in matches and get to play as much golf as they want to.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of golf. Golf's something that, especially with like the handicap system now, you can play from, you know, age of 7 or 8 till death. You know, I mean, with the handicap system, everybody's even and plays different tees or whatever you need to do to even the playing field. But golf is just, it's a wonderful sport, and more kids need to be involved. But it is an expensive sport, and it's not something, if you want to be competitive, it's not something you just want to show up and do. So that's why I think you're looking at the numbers usually low as far as other sports goes, but you know, getting a kid fresh off the couch just to go play golf is really kind of difficult to work with, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, we're in a county, too, that's, you know, other sports are more popular, so it's difficult to get kids involved just because it's not because they don't like it, it's just they're not used to playing, and it's just not as popular.
Yeah, I always tell people Estill County has got a really nice golf program, but again, all their kids are members of their country club. All their members are, you know, couple of generations usually involved in that club. So if the kids are brought up playing, you'll have more numbers. If they're not brought up playing, it looks like low numbers, which is kind of where we are. Not a lot of kids that are active in golf here in the community, but it would be nice to see them get there.
Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, as we talked about, it's a sport that it's a lifetime sport, and, you know, I'm somebody that would tell you I wish I would have played a lot earlier. I learned to play the correct way a lot earlier, because it's something, you know, I enjoy it so much, and I wish I would have picked it up, though, even before high school.
Just a personal preference. You like to play when it's hot or when it's cool?
You know, when it comes to playing golf, the heat does not bother me. I guess because I'm so competitive, I get in the zone, it doesn't bother me that much. So I would like to play when it's hotter. But now, of course, I'd like to have that happy medium, though, at 70-degree weather. It would be great.
Oh, it's nice to play. And say, I'm like you, though. When I'm out playing golf, it doesn't really matter how hot it is. You'll find a way to cool off while you're playing golf. It's just, now, if you're walking, it's maybe a different story, but on a golf cart, it's a little bit easier to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is a challenge, too. Not to discourage anybody from, you know, high schoolers playing golf, but that is challenging, though, having to walk the course. But, you know, luckily, it's just, most of the time, it's just 9 holes unless you're playing a tournament.
Yeah, and it can be a grind. I mean, you're talking probably even Beach Fork, and it's very hilly at Beach Fork, but you're probably going to get in 3 to 4 miles every 9 holes that you play. So it's not like it's just a easy walk. It's a lot of work and carrying your clubs, pulling a cart, pushing a cart, doing something. But it's not as much fun as it is when you're just out playing with buddies on a golf cart.
That's very true.
All right. We're going to take one more break, and we'll come back and talk about basketball and some of what you look for the upcoming season there as well. Be right back here on PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protex Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protex Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
And welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, and we are again joined by Coach Blake Williams. Blake, tell us a little bit about your upcoming boys basketball season on returning players and those that you've lost.
Yeah, so last season we had a very large number of seniors. You know, we lost a lot of those guys, a lot of experience, what I meant to say. And this year, you know, we come back with a really young team, which is not a bad thing. We're young coming up, but I think that, we've got a full schedule. We're sitting at 29 games, looking to pick up that 30th after a recent cancellation. So, you know, I think that we'll be able to get these guys really experienced towards tournament time next year.
Now, you had a couple guys got quite a bit of playing time of your underclassmen last year and also had some success at the JV level. So how do you see that transitioning forward toward this year's team?
I think, towards the last few games of the season, we had some of those younger guys, current juniors now, they really stepped up in the last few games. So that was that's encouraging going into next season. And, you know, these guys, they went from, you know, being sophomores to becoming juniors, but leaders of the team. Because, at this point in time, we have one senior come out for workouts right now, which, you know, October 15th. So a while away, you never know who might come out. But at this point, though, you know, we got guys that did play well last year that are coming in now, you know, ready to take over the team.
Yeah, I know looking back to last year's season, when you had and you did have I'll use this big word, plethora of seniors, and that's something that you don't always want to have on your team. It's always, I guess, a nice thing if they're experienced and really high level of talent. But you actually took a inexperienced senior group last year as far as varsity playing time, in my opinion, and I thought you did a good job with that group.
Well, I appreciate that, and I hate it for those guys that, you know, that group, as you mentioned, was not as experienced because, you know, they were playing a lot of behind some good seniors ahead of them. But, you know, I feel like those guys should have been juniors last year and should be, you know, filling that senior role this year. And, you know, I wish we did have them for one more year because, you know, I think we could have a lot better outcome on our season.
You know, I think it goes to where a lot of people don't understand the amount of experience that you get playing games in the summer or in the off time. That's really where your team improves. And again, we've already lost that part in the summertime. Just a quick comparison. I know you came from Knott County originally. How much does the Sportsplex and the involvement of basketball in that area, how much does it differ from Powell County?
Well, you know, just like you said, mentioning the Sportsplex, you know, that's giving opportunity for basketball year-round, you know. So having that luxury in their home county there, I mean, they've got kids from their feeder system. They're playing, you know, of course, during regular basketball season, but they're also getting, in a normal year, they're getting, you know, summer league games at the little level, like at the feeder system level. They're getting it in the fall. They get it, you know. So, I mean, they're getting it, like I said, basically year-round with very minimal breaks. So, you know, that's definitely an advantage to them.
Do you think that's why that area of the region is really kind of excels over this end?
I do. You know, I think that's definitely, like I said, that's definitely a benefit for them too. But, you know, one thing I noticed when I first came to Powell County too, something was a lot different from that area is we have kids, our athletes are very involved in multiple sports, and you don't really have that as much in that part of the region. You did when I was there anyway. You know, you had a lot of kids that would focus on one sport.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, in your school, though, we have guys that, you know, I mean, I wasn't used to this. I had kids playing football. You have a soccer team. You know, I had a lot more kids participating in football, baseball. So I think that's another thing about that, too, is just the concentration they put on basketball.
Now, and it's a – it's a catch-22. I mean, you want the kids to be involved in other sports. I think it's probably better in the long run, but for one particular skill level, you're obviously better if you only play one.
Yeah, and that's on the tail end of that. You know, I'm all for a kid playing multiple sports.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, if they're good, you know, if they're going to play at the next level anyway, playing two sports is not going to affect them. I think, you know, I'm sure if you ask a lot of Division I coaches and college coaches in general, they're going to tell you they'd rather have athletes that play multiple sports. But I'm all in favor, though, of multiple because I just think that's just an advantage to all the kids. And, you know, it goes beyond, you know, it goes beyond just the wins and losses for that player. You know, you want them to be able to play multiple sports, you know, gain build relationships with other teammates, with other coaches. So, like I said, I think it's just great to play more than one sport if possible.
You know, he kind of mentioned as far as building relationships. So in these voluntary practices for basketball, how has that kind of been going as far as the camaraderie, the team, you know, player interactions, I guess, in a sense, with each other?
Well, you know, it's definitely different. You know, having a conversation with someone with a mask on, you don't feel comfortable. But we've started, it's been easing up, though. We feel a little more comfortable doing that now. But, you know, when all this was going on, though, when all this first came out, I just said, you know, I really want to get back to sports. Yeah. Not because get these guys better, because I want these kids for the mental aspect of it, for the social aspect of it. They need to be around their peers like this. They need to be, you know, they need the routine. They need all this. It's just a plus, you know, even if we have to do this wearing a mask, keeping distance, and still I think it's just great to have the kids back out there, even with these conditions.
Now, just change gears a little bit with you. Starting back to school the 25th of August is what it looks like Powell County will be doing. I mean, it really doesn't affect as far as the sports schedules because obviously you could be playing golf August end of July, I guess, 1st of August. So the start time of golf, you can play before school starts. You'll be playing almost a month of golf before we start school. But when you get to the classroom, how does that going to affect your teaching strategies and things you can or can't do in the classroom?
Yeah, well, that's definitely going to be different, you know, especially being a PE teacher. You know, I'm still waiting on guidelines. Hey, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do. And, you know, I don't know. That's a really tough question because, you know, I guess it just depends on what the numbers are with COVID at that time and just, you know, what our restrictions are. But it will be interesting.
Do you think that they will try to lower their class sizes because of COVID in PE, or do you think they'll try to keep them the same as they have been?
Well, you know, with PE, I think that's one class that you can have the larger number, just the fact that you're in a more open space. And, you know, people I've talked to in other districts, they said that, you know, I've been told that their PE teachers are encouraged to do as much outside activity as possible.
Correct.
So, you know, that's something we'll definitely look at, too. And starting school later, that's going to, you know, won't be as hot out, and I think that's good, and it will be easier for us to do outside activities.
Yeah, that was always a difficult for me. Everybody said, well, if you had early classes, it's the bad time of the day because you go out and get hot and sweaty. But, man, in the afternoons, if it's 95 degrees outside, it's not pleasant to go out and do a lot of activity when it's that hot. And you as a teacher, let's say if you go outside six periods a day, it's a lot of – it's not pleasant going out all day long.
No, it can definitely drain you. You know, just going outside and standing for 6 hours a day is going to drain you, let alone going out there teaching class and think about these people, the kids that are out there participating for 45 minutes. That's a lot on them.
Yeah, it is. And, again, you'll get more, I guess, information on how that goes. Have you heard anything as far as when you're going to be hearing information about schedule?
I'm sorry, what was that again?
Have you heard any information about when they're going to have a schedule out to you guys on what the options are?
I have not heard that yet. I just know recently, I looked last night at the calendar. Other than that, I don't know on the options and all that. It's not been told to us yet.
So as far as golf, are there currently any matches that are scheduled as of yet, or you're still waiting for other districts to kind of, you know, figure out what their plan is, and that way you all can start making contact then?
Well, as far as regular matches go, I have not, because I am still waiting on that. But if there are tournaments, though, that are already, you know, I've not seen an application in yet, but I have said, all right, we're going to look to play in this one, we're going to look to play in that one, and because, you know, that's something I want to get in before they do book up, because, you know, I feel strongly that golf will get a play.
Yeah, I think golf will get to play. I think cross country will get their season. And we're talking about the contact sports. I'm not real sure. I think they're going to try to go on as much as they can. But, you know, to me, without football and basketball being your money-making sports, if you will, it also, if you don't allow fans in, that kind of reduces your income level for the sport activities.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's just like at the Division I level of football, you know.
Yeah.
you know, of course they're going to get the their money from television, but you know, as far as their loss on attendance, so that's going to be, you know, a huge hit to them. Just like, but you know, for the high school level, just as you said though, yeah, that's, you know, that is, that's how you're making your money. That's how you run your programs.
Yeah,
based on that. So yeah, it'd be tough, but like I said, hopefully it doesn't come to that. Though I think more than anybody, I'm ready to get back to sports.
Yeah, us too, and ready to broadcast another season. Regular broadcast, not just doing this show to you know, make sure our sponsors are taken care of as well. But
I think that was his key to say he's ready to get back to playing golf. We've taken up enough of his time.
He's got to get out. He's cooled off a little bit. We're going to get you back out and let you hit a few more balls and get that score down.
Hey, well, I need all the help I can get on that.
All right, Blake.
Thank you, Coach. We
Take
appreciate
care.
It.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
Hey, enjoyed it, buddy. Take care.
All
right, again, Coach Blake Williams, Powell County High School boys basketball and Powell County High School boys golf coach, playing him around the golf this afternoon, and hope he's having fun. There's some storms around. Don't know where he is, probably in Richmond, but nothing right now popping up in around Richmond area, but a little bit of south where he's getting some lightning and storm activity. But folks, be safe out there. We'll be back with you next week. Hopefully have some guests on here that may be able to answer some questions that we had at the beginning of the show, and hopefully those COVID numbers will be going down by next week, but who knows? We'll have to see when we get there. But thanks for joining us here on PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcasts. Good.